Hey everybody, welcome back to the So Many Alumni That Are Here. It's a tremendous host to see all of you. And we want to bid farewell and Hatzlacha Rabba to Jeremy. We're going to miss him in Yeshiva, but we're confident that he's going to continue to stag and do great things. First off, the Shmuz is Luli Nishmas, my wife's grandfather, who just passed away a few hours ago, Rabbi Avram Chaim and Rabbi Simcha. And the first thing, I mean, I've said over many times about him, he was Kanai Nahara, almost 103. And until a few weeks ago, he was learning Gemara Bava Metzia with his grandson every day. Now, when you think, oh, he learned Bava Metzia, you know, with his grandson every single day, he must have learned in Yeshiva, he must have learned Gemara his whole life. But the answer is, he did not learn Gemara, he learned Yeshiva his whole life. He only learned Gemara. His first Siyum Masechta he made was about, I guess, around 10 years ago. On I think Megillah, and then he started getting into deeper stuff, and he was totally lucid, totally with it, until a few weeks ago, and, but whenever I spoke about him, whenever I speak about him, I'd say the following thing. Whenever I would go into his house and go visit him, there was always, almost always, a chumash in his hand, learning Shteimikra Vecha Targum. And when I thought about it this morning, I was like, wow. He passed away on Erev Shabbos Parsha Shmos. And we know the Baal HaTurim says the following thing. The first thing in the parsha of this sefer, Ve'ele Shmos Bnei Yisrael, Rashi Tevos, Ve'odom Asher Lomed HaSeder Shnayim Mikro Ve'echa Targum B'kol Na'im, Yoshir Yichya Shanim Rabos Aruchim Lo'olam. You hear this? Mamish, this week's parsha, the Rashi Tevos is Ve'ele Shmos Bnei Yisrael, is Mamish that Shnayim Mikro Ve'echa Targum brings a Rechus Yom, and all of you have learned Gemara Brachas, I'm sure, at some, right? Everybody here is Shana Aleph when they learn Brachas, Tav Chesu Beis, and whenever I used to learn this Gemara, I would say, B'chush. My wife's grandfather, Mamish, lived this. He never learned in Yeshiva. At the age of 13, his father passed away, had to go out to work to help support his family. His older brother, who learned in Yeshiva, actually was Mechaber Svarim, was a real big time Chacham, but he had to go out to work. He was always a year Shemayim. And he was always a Shnai Mikra, but Gemara came in his 90s. And just to say more about who he was, and just to understand, you know, life's challenges. Here's a person, forget a minion, of course, no Shaila, he davened for the Omer, he loved to daven. He was like a Hartzegigid, Mamish, a Haimish and Hartzegigid. Like, he, the truth is, when my son was little, like, he couldn't understand that they were, like, restless in shul. Like, not, like, how could they come to shul and make you know, not daven properly? He was that kind of person. Here's a person who, I think I can say this, he lost a wife and two children in the Holocaust, and came and went to Colombia, to South America, got married and had, you know, three children, built a beautiful family, and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Kenyibu, and you see, like, what adversity, oh, I don't have time for Shnai Mikra, you know, I mean, this person, his whole life was certainly Avodas Hashem, and there's no doubt in my mind that his adherence and his hakpada in Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum was certainly a key of this Gemara, it's Pashut. And it happens to also be Hashkocha brought this, that this past week, the Deir Shu cycle of Mishnah were also learned the halachas of Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. So maybe I'll just say over a few of the basic ideas of Shnai Mikra. Now, the Mechaber says that the Yirish Shemayim, I think that's the language of the Yirish Shemayim, the best ideal is to learn, say the Pashut twice, Targum and Rashi, because as the Mishnah Berurah points out, Targum, again, assuming we are well versed in Targum and Targum does something for us, in the end of the day, Targum is not for Parshios and Vayikra that are very complex. So without Rashi, you're not going to understand much. Well, I think for us, you know, most of the Targum is very unfamiliar to us. We're not so familiar with it. So certainly that would apply to almost all. That Rashi certainly enlightens us. It happens to me, it's brought down. Mishnah Berurah does say that if there's no Targum, if you learn Rashi, it's okay. But again, as the Mechaber said, it's ideal to learn Targum as well. But Rashi says that if there's no Targum on the Pasuk, you just say the Pasuk three times. That's certainly noteworthy to mention. The ideal is also, the Gro would break down the Parsha into six parts, and after davening from Sunday through Friday, he would learn the parasha. It's a very logical way of doing it, right? Everybody, oftentimes, we sit down Friday night or Shabbos morning, and we're like, oh, we have to do the whole parasha, and it's a daunting task. But obviously, everybody knows that if it's broken up into six parts, it's not as intimidating, and certainly much more feasible. Now, it's a historic for all of us. Again, you have to find the 10 to 15 minutes a day to do it. But the Gra said that's what one should do. And there's a certain mile that's brought down in the Mechaber that there's a pecking order of when it's ideal to finish the parasha. Certainly before Shabbos is ideal, and then before the Suda on Shabbos day, and then before Mincha, I believe, and then by Tuesday, I think it says Wednesday, and then if all else fails, by Shmini Atzeres. But you see that it's real. The Gemara and the Segula is mamash real, and it makes sense, because the parashios, there's so much in the parashios, right? And I heard once somebody say that Rashi is so amazing that, you know, a fourth grader and a third grader can learn the same Rashi that the Gadol HaDor is learning. Everybody's learning the same thing. And there's what's to be gained from everybody. And just, that's the godless of Rashi. And certainly, if you learn the Parsha on a regular basis, so it's not just Jewish history. It's you know, myself is Sim Labanim, and it's Mamish, it's on the highest level, and it's a tremendous source. And my wife's grandfather, certainly one of his outstanding attributes was his diligence about Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. And his neshama should have an aliyah, and he's just a tremendous person, a tremendous schus to be able to have the schus to be part of his family. Now, rarely do I get an email from somebody who asked me the source for a shmuz or a Dvar Torah or a speech I gave years ago, but this past week a guy emailed me and said, what was that Dvar Torah? So I said, if he went ahead and he remembered this Dvar Torah from a few years ago, it's certainly noteworthy, and maybe I should say it over again and say it over with a twist, as always. Now, the halach in Yeridea, in Siman Pei Aleph, Hilchos Dvarim Hayotz Min Achai, things that come out from humans, actually. So it discusses nursing, halachos of nursing. I'm sure many of you know this, but I'll try to add a little bit more. The halachos of nursing. And in Siman Zayin, the Ramah says, Chalav Mitzris Kechalav Yisrael. In essence, milk of a Jewish person, of an Egyptian, of a Mitzri, is on the same level as the milk of a Jew. Nevertheless, a baby should not nurse from an Egyptian woman. Because the milk of a non-Jew is clogs, covers, seals the heart. He's going to come, bad things are going to happen for him. So the Bir Agra, the Gra writes, where did this halacha come from? So the Bir Agra, the Gra writes, this came from Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll just read it to you inside. He goes on. Peh she'asal adaber b'shchina. Right, the issue is over there. A peh that's going to be medaber l'shchina, a mouth that's going to talk to the shchina. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not appropriate for that peh to nurse from a non-Jewish woman, from an Egyptian woman. And the obvious question is, that's true about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu peh al peh, so he shouldn't nurse from an Egyptian woman. But what does that have to do with the rest of Klal Yisrael? How in the world can we paskin halacha, can we create a halacha based on Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was a unique Jew. He's Arami Kol Adam. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he shouldn't nurse from a non-Jew. But what does that have to do with every other Jew in the world? That's how we paskin halacha? That doesn't make any sense. So Yaakov Kamenetsky explains the following. He says, the ideal, the approach, and the mindset has to be that my son, who's now nursing, he could reach the Madrigas Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single Jew can reach the Madrigas Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's not only Moshe Rabbeinu. We know we're supposed to ask ourselves, when will our deeds reach the deeds of our forefathers? Every single person is essentially destined for greatness. And he reminded me that in this book called Sparks of Majesty from Gnendel Krohn, she brings a story from a woman who was doing some sort of research in India, and all of a sudden she went to her supervisor, and she said, I'm sorry, I have to go back to America. And she asked, why? She said, don't you know, I'm reaching my ninth month, and I want to go give birth in America. And she said, don't you know that whatever hospital is in Bangladesh is on par with any hospital in America? He said, it's not about the medical care. It says that in the laws in the U.S., in the United States, if you want to be the president of the United States, you have to be born in America. And therefore, if my child will be born in India, he won't have the opportunity to become the president of the United States. And therefore, for his birth, I'm going to go back to America so you can be born in America. And she's like, what are the chances? And what are the chances of your son actually becoming the president? She said, you know what, you're right. But I want him to at least have that opportunity. And Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky told over this Maisa, and he connected it with the vort of his father. Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky Zatzal said it over in the name of his, said over this vort in the name of his father of Yaakov Kamenetsky. And the same is told when a child is born, the sky is the limit. There's an unlimited amount of potential, right, that every single person has. And that's what the Gra is telling us, and that's what the Halacha is telling us. This is what the Rama is quoting. The Rama is quoting this Halacha, that a Jewish child can't nurse from Mitzvah, because you know what? You never know. The power of a Jewish soul, what a Jew can become, a Jew who's over Hashem, a Jew who achieves greatness, the sky's the limit. Again, you don't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu per se, you have to be the best that you can be. You can reach godless, everybody can reach godless. And with that introduction, I'd also like to say over a little bit about Rav Steinman Zatzal. I don't think I've spoken here about him, but I gave a burst of inspiration about him. And honestly, I heard Hespedim last week, I heard Hespedim on the computer. I actually recommend, there was an English one. 3 out of the 4 speeches were in English on TorahAnytime.com. Rabbi Kaplan spoke, Rav Shmuel Baron, Rav Shua Eichenstein. I listened to Rav Kaplan's. And there's another one in English from the Aguda for I'm sure, but it was a little bit hard because it was like 70% English and 30% Yiddish. But you should, every single story and every single, and also last Motzei Shabbos in my shul, the Rav of my shul gave an amazing hesped, and I'll try to summarize his hesped, and what you can learn from every single maisa is unbelievable. It's hard to imagine that we walked into his house, and a number of you actually ate by his chavrusa's house, you know, no problem. And it was just like, you walk into this house, no problem. And to hear the stories about him, it's just mind-boggling. So I'll tell you over the story this morning that I just read. I read it one time as I was checking my email. Look, from the Dirshu sends out stories. So because the Shloshim is coming up, they sent out stories about him. Now, the story's going to blow your mind, but I think this is what to understand from the story. There's a Rabbi Tzion Feldman. I believe he lived in Bnei Brak. He was very, very chashuv rav. And he had somebody in his shir named, I think the person's name was like Mr. Stein. Now, 40 years ago, now, if the story happened 40 years ago, that means Rabbi Steinman was in his low 60s, okay? In his low 60s. Now, this guy was offered to invest into an old age home in Netanya. There were 5 partners, okay? And one of the guys wanted to get out. And the investment was $25,000, which 40 years ago was a pretty sizable amount of money, okay, based on inflation, I don't know, $200,000, $400,000, fine. And he went to his Rebbe, he said to this person who gave him the shiur, Rebbe Tzion Feldman, he said, what should I do? So Rebbe Tzion Feldman said, you know, listen, go speak to this holy rabbi in Bnei Brak, you know, Steinman, Rechov Chazon Ish 5, and see what he says. Now, mind you, at this point, he was not a public figure. He was really only a public figure in the last 20 years or so. This is 40 years ago. He was just a holy, holy, holy Jew. And he went into him and he said, listen, I was offered this deal. Invest $25,000. I didn't tell you the returns. The returns were $5,000 a month. Okay? Make the calculations, right? That means over a year, 20, that's what, $60,000? That's more than double, okay? More than 200% investment annually, okay? It's a ridiculous investment. He said, sounds like a good deal. So he said, make sure they're not serving treif. Make sure they're not serving treif. They have a rabbanut hechsher. He said to him, and Rav Steinman turned to him and says, how do you know they're not serving horse and donkey meat? He said, what? So he said, okay, fine, you know what? I'll keep this in my mind. And he went to have a meeting with the people in at the old age home, this businessman. And he sat with the people at the meeting at the nursing home, and he said, you know, where do you get your meat? It's from the Carmel Market. He said, is it kosher? Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, why do you go, what's with you and your yarmulke, with you know, you asking about what kind of meat we serve here? What's your problem? He said, you know, so then how do you get a hechsher? He said, the mashkiach comes once a month. That month, we put the top chicken that we have, you know, that week. I'm sorry, that month when we know he's coming, we put the chicken on top, has a hechsher on it. The mashkiach comes, and he says, it's fine, and we go away. He said, I'm not investing in this business for sure. This is shady business. And of course, I'm a Yer Shemayim. I'm not serving elderly Jewish patients non-kosher meat. So for sure, I'm not going to invest. But he stayed there and he asked a few more questions to be polite. And he went on his merry way. A week went by and there was an article, front page of the paper that says, old age home in Netanya murders their patients. And it said that the prosecutor, obviously, like the state of Israel versus this old age home, and the prosecutor happened to be none other but a guy that davened in this person who wanted to invest in his shul. So he went to the shul, and he went to the prosecutor. His friend said, "What? You're suing this old age home for killing the patients? What did they do?" He said, "Well, they were serving their patients horse meat and donkey meat. And apparently, horse meat and donkey meat, it's not so edible, b'chlal. It's not even supervised by the Ministry of Health. Meaning the Ministry of Health, they check chicken and regular beef for contamination. But they don't check horse meat and donkey meat. Okay, and it was contaminated, and over a few month period, all the people in the old age home were passed away, and these people were mamish, they were murderers." So you ask yourself, the 60-year-old man, Rav Shteinman Zatzal, how in the world did he have, now, mind you, Rav Chaim Kanievsky over the last few years said, you know, if you have a question, go to Rav Shteinman because he's Ruach HaKodesh. What in the world? How? 40 years ago, he's a 60-year-old man. How did he know this? What's the pshat? So Rav Rom Shor was said over, where did Rav Shteinman come from? They said when he was a teenager in the late teens, 20s in Switzerland, people saw him learning at night, and they asked him, like, what are you doing? He said one thing. He said, "I want to be a Merkava for the Shechina. I want to be a chariot for the Shechina, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. That's my goal in life. That's what runs through every fiber of my body and every second of the day." And the Rav of my shul said, "You know what the story is about his hasmada and his preachers, that he only drank 2 cups of water and he had 2 potatoes a day for lunch and he had the same little, you know, a little bit of oatmeal for, you know, in the morning, and he fasted Mondays and Thursdays and all things that we probably don't even know about. Okay? And he's been omel chaver and he's sensitive to people. There's one common thread that runs through every single story that encapsulates who he was. I don't think there's anybody in this room who didn't learn a very straightforward mission in Pirkei Avos," says the Rav of my shul. It says in the mission in Pirkei Avos, and this is the theme of the first page in Mitzvah's Jarim, "Olam hazeh domer lefroz der b'fnei olam haba." This world is a corridor before the trackland before the palace of olam haba. Now, some people say the pros are, it's a lobby, it's a vestibule. So you think, oh, lobby's not that bad. But many Rishonim call it a base shar. And we learned Sukkah. What's a base shar? Base shar is just an entranceway. It's mamish, just an entranceway. It's nothing fancy. Garnished. It's like the Chavetz Chaim, when somebody came to the Chavetz Chaim with a little package and it came to him and said, "Where's your furniture?" He said, "What do you mean furniture? Where's your furniture?" He said, "I'm passing through." Chavetz Chaim said, "I'm also passing through." Rav Shteinman understood that this world is mamish beis shar. We all know this. If a guy gives you a bizyonis, a guy makes you feel bad, a guy insults you, who cares? This is Rav Shteinman. This is his mahalach in life. What does it make a difference? This world is so fleeting. It doesn't make a difference. I need to paint my walls. What do I need it for? It's so bad. And so he said, and he would also say, you know, I don't mind the bizyonis, because the more bizyonis I get in this world, the better I am in that world. So he said, so he's a baal taiva for the next world. Well, no, he's not. He's the smartest person alive. He said, that's what he says. And what does it say in Mishnah Sharm? Right? The ultimate, Lehonos Miziv Shechano, the Tachlis of Bria, the Tachlis of Olam is Lehonos Miziv Shechinoso. Where? And where is the Tachlis? In Olam Haba. So nothing in this world matters, mamish. So here you have a human being who lived that every rega. Why can't I get up in the morning? Oh, I'm tired, I need to sleep. But if you understand this world is only temporary, who cares? It's a little bit painful. It's not comfortable to get up in the morning. You know what? I want to get a coffee now. I don't want to work my head on trying to figure out the Gemara. Well, guess what? After 120, you're going to go to the ultimate world that's eternal. And guess what? If you stay in the Gemara and you work hard in the Gemara, guess what? You're going to have bliss for eternity. And mind you, that if you push yourself hard enough to stem this world, and you take that base shahr, and you turn that into the training camp, and I'll say perhaps a mashal, training camp for the next world, so it's not like you live a life of sadness and depression. He wasn't sad and depressed. No! When you're doing the right thing all the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you think, I've said this many of times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't create the world and tell you, live the world this way, but by the way, it's going to stink in this world, but don't worry, the next world is going to be great. No! If you live with that every moment, and that's your bein olam l'makom, and that's your bein olam l'chaveru, and that's how you daven, and that's how you learn, that's how you deal with people, that this world is temporary, it's a whole different life. And then you don't ask questions. At 60 years old, how did he have such Ruach HaKodesh? You know why? Because at the end of Mesillas Shlomo, it says, there's a Shah Ruach HaKodesh. If you live it, you open up any Musa Sefer, you're like, wow, that story about Rav Shlomo is right there. That story, that's how we live it. It's crazy. It's bunch of crazy. How many Jews in the world learn Musa, Mesillas Shlomo, Orcha Tzedikim, Chovos HaLevavos? But to live it? He's Mechayev. He actually lived it. I would like to say the following mashal, just to bring home a sports mashal, right? We all know the preseason, right? Preseason. So, you know, the team goes 0-10, I don't even know, 0-15 in preseason, and they're trying this, they're trying that. Does anybody care? Does it make a difference? It makes zero difference. But what? The only things that matter is the regular season. This world is mamish preseason. Nobody cares. I mean, obviously, no. I'm saying you have to train. You have to train and train and train and train and train. But ultimately, it doesn't make a difference. There's no holdover to the major leagues. This is the majors. Olam Hava is the majors. And again, but training camp, you have to work and work and work and work the entire time just to get to there. And that's what this world is. And you know what? What happens? Somebody insults you here. Somebody insults you there. This didn't work out. It's really irrelevant. It doesn't make a difference. It's all about the next world. Mamish. And when you work that back to Moshe Rabbeinu and understand that every single Jew can reach godless, there's no, it's just mind-boggling. The truth is, and for each and every person, you know what the Gemara is telling us? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was destined for godless and therefore he couldn't nurse for a non-Jewish woman, so to all of us are destined for godless. You're destined for godless, each one according to your level. You're destined for godless. No matter what your background is, no matter what your intellectual capacity is, no matter what school you go to, no matter what community you're from, it doesn't make a difference. If a person lives his life alpi the derech of the Mishnah and Avos, which is, you don't have to, you know, besides the Mbali Moser, this world is a base shahr. It's an entranceway. It has no lasting effect in terms of. Of course, only the Gabi Torah Mitzvahs it does. In terms of the extra other things, you know, how enjoyable the steak was, or how much covered a person gets, or how big his house. That's what Shimon says, like, who cares? Like, another famous thing. Like, people, somebody, you know, somebody did something wrong to you. And I'll tell you one story that I heard recently. That somebody who was a cameraman, who took a lot of pictures, who was inside many times in Shimon's house, my shul asked him for a story. He said, listen, I'll tell you this following story. A Rebbe, a 50-year-old Rebbe from a cheder, came together, was like a 20-year-old bacher, and basically nothing terrible, but the Rebbe, when this kid was in the cheder, he wasn't nice to him. He may call him a fool. I don't know what nothing major, but he wasn't so nice to him. So now, you know, 15 years later, 10 years later, whatever it is, the Rebbe wants to get mechila from the boy. And the boy says, I don't want to mochel him. So Shtaim says, what do you gain by not being mochel? Like, what do you gain? What do you gain by not forgiving somebody? Does that make any sense? What's the point? Who needs it? So apparently the end of the story was, somebody who was there said, you know, Rosh Hashiva, would you give him a bracha if he's mochel him? He said, yeah, okay, fine. I'll be mochel him if you give me a bracha. I'm saying, who cares? Like, somebody harms you, does something to you? Of course, it's brought down in... By Hamapil, no. By actually, he also said in his tzava, you mochel people except for the things that you can be tovei abedin. Okay, that right. The guy stole $100 from you, and you can, you know, be tovei abedin, get your $100 back. Fine, that don't mean mochel. But anything else, who needs it? So, putting everything together, if a person lives his life that this world is only a base shower, is only an entranceway, he can mamish achieve greatness. Have a great Shabbos.